Greetings, wonderful family. Welcome to Bad Thought Therapy. I'm Cherie Hardy. I am back at it again. I'm taking some stories from the headlines or things that are in social media, and I just want to talk about them and offer some life lessons. So the exigence, you all know I'm an AP teacher, the exigence for this particular episode is Taraji P. Henson, who is an African-American actress who has been publicly crying and expressing her disappointment and frustration about her pay. So when I look at these stories, I want to make it clear, I'm not trying to judge anybody, I'm not trying to criticize or condemn, but I do think that when people have this public platform and you're looking at, you know, what they're saying or thinking about what they're saying, there are some life lessons that we can extract from her situation. So I'm titling this one, From Crying to Creating, Lessons for Getting Through Disappointment. And this is not to minimize Taraji P. Henson's struggles with pay, but I'm an educator. I've been an educator for over 30 years. And I can tell you that it is frustrating when you work very hard and you sometimes don't feel like you're compensated for everything you do. This is what Taraji is going through, is what thousands upon thousands of people go through every single day. Their stories don't get this public platform because they're not in the media. They're not in the entertainment business. So we don't see them and their lives and their struggles played out in the public. And so I just want to offer some life lessons that I think are very empowering. And we can use, you know, what she's going through. And this is going to sound maybe a little harsh, but Taraji P. Henson, you know, people are looking at her, but Taraji P. Henson doesn't know that we're breathing, okay? Her fans or people, you know, I'm not a fan, but the people who follow her and who watch her shows, she does not know their name. She's not going to pay their bills. She's not concerned about their everyday lives. And I'm not so sure. Someone shared with me something, and I don't want to say it because it, you know, of course I had no way to corroborate this information, but there's something that could be influencing her to say these things. But I'm not so sure why it's so important for her to cry publicly about her pay. Again, I can relate. As an educator, I started teaching over 30 years ago, and I could not pay my bills. I couldn't live a certain lifestyle. So I get it. Oh, trust and believe. And I want to talk about some things that I learned along the way and how you can go from crying to creating as a way to respond to disappointment and to frustration. I understand that we're given tear ducts. I understand we are emotional human beings. And I do, of course, I'm very sensitive to we feel. I'm not so sure if going around in the public and crying about your problems is the best way to solve them. And that's what's been happening with some of our, you know, some of the actresses and actors. So I just want to offer some solutions and some things that you can do instead of crying. And I hope that this is empowering for anybody who's dealing with the same frustration. And I get it. We all have things that we want. I talk about this on my podcast all the time. My house needs a total renovation, a total makeover. And I don't have the money right now. And so I have to go from crying to creating myself because I want to live in a certain way and, you know, have a certain home, have certain things. And I get it. We want nice things. And so what do? Well, I can cry all day and all night. And I know that nothing will change. Nothing will be transformed. But I do believe that all of us are given the God-given gift to create. And that's something I've been talking about since the summer when I really started getting into making the videos for YouTube, trying to expand my ministry. And by the way, if you have not subscribed, please subscribe to this budding YouTube channel. I'm trying to offer light and love and life lessons that can change your life. And I'm using my own personal experiences and some that I see to kind of help guide you. And I'm talking to myself first and me. So please subscribe. Hit that like button when you listen to the video. Make a comment. And you're not going to be blocked if you make a comment that I don't agree with. It may be a great conversation. And if you want to have a conversation with me, don't forget you can email me at badthoughttherapy@gmail.com. Let's get right into this topic. And I'm just speaking from my heart. I wanted to be able to take some notes. Y'all know I'm off for the holidays because I'm a teacher. But at some point, I'm going to redo this episode and have some slides with notes on them so that you can really get this. But crying is okay. There's nothing wrong with crying. It just shows that you're passionate and you're emotional. But we got to move beyond the crying and the begging and create. And that's what I want to talk about. So stay, hang in there with me. Thank you. Okay, I want to say thank you again so much for listening. And I just thank you for your listenership. For those of you who have listened before, and for those of you who are new, welcome to Bad Thought Therapy. I'm Sheree Hardy. I'm a full-time educator, and I started my podcast when I was a full-time business owner. And I always share this story. I met so many amazing people from all walks of life, poor people, rich people, people with different religious backgrounds, people with different races, socioeconomic statuses. So I started Bad Thought Therapy just to offer some wisdom and some inspiration and empowerment on how to transform bad thoughts into positive ones. We all have bad thoughts. They come from somewhere. Sometimes they come from what we've experienced. They come from what we have seen, what we have heard, and what we know. And then they also, if they come from those places, they can also be transformed. And those bad thoughts can turn into positive ones. And how do you do that? Well, it's all about what you put in your mind, what you believe. Every single action begins with a thought. That thought comes from your beliefs and your values and what you have put inside of you or what someone else has put inside of you. So as an educator, one of the things I would use, I drink a lot of water, had a bottle of water, and I'll pour some water out. And I'll tell my students, hey, what just came out of that bottle? All of them will say, because they all can see, water. Well, we're just like that. Whatever is coming out of us is a result of what we're putting in us. So I decided to do this episode because of I saw Taraji B. Henson on some of the platforms. I haven't watched an episode of something where I saw it from beginning to end, but I did see a couple of clips where she began to talk about her pay situation, where she felt like she wasn't getting paid enough. She was frustrated. In the business, every single business that you have, and I'm a business owner too, you get money, but then you have all these expenses. So you really only make what you keep. So there are people, I just did a podcast, and there are a lot of people who, some people are, I call them cult leaders. They're not cultivators. And what they do is they're always talking about what they make. And I'm going to make this amount of money. And maybe they just, it's affirmation for them. But the truth is, if you make seven figures and you spend seven figures, you're broke. And so money, it comes and it goes. We need money. I get it. And I shared at the top of the show, I'm an educator. And I remember the time when I got paid and I had budgeted my money down to like $2. I mean, I was a master at a budget. I could go in a grocery store. And my daughter's 33. And so I remember like maybe she was like 3 or 4. I would go to the grocery store and all I had was $25 for food. And that $25 had to last for 2 weeks until my next payday. And I would go in there, and maybe we didn't have the best diets because some of the stuff that's not the best for you costs more. But I mean, I would budget money to a T and get things that we could maybe eat and feel full. Maybe they weren't the healthiest things, and I'm working on that. Y'all, trust me. But I get it, not having enough money. Even today, I make a fairly decent salary. I'm back into the classroom, but I lost so much while I was a business owner. And I joke about this, but this is absolutely true. We made tons of beautiful memories. We were impactful. We were successful, but we didn't make a lot of money. So I get it. It is frustrating when you're working really hard and you don't feel like you make enough money. And I get that. I'm one of those people. I understand it. But here's the thing. Crying about it and complaining about it is not going to change the situation. And so this episode is really about, how do you cry and then take all that energy, that frustration, that pain, that disappointment, and turn it into creating? So that's what I had to do. I had to do the same thing. Right now, and I've talked about this before, my house is a hot mess. It needs renovation. I really need a whole new house, right? But in my salary, and because of my debt from business, I'm slowly starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel. It's going to take me a minute because I'm not going to get another loan to get my house fixed or even to get another house, period. And what I had to learn, and I believe that God gave me this, I had to learn that I have to create. I have to become a creator. And so my heart grieves for my sister, for this beautiful person. She's an actress, and this is what she does, and she's passionate about it. But the first life lesson is, you do have to make a decision. Can you do this job and get paid what you're getting? Even though I feel like I deserve to make seven figures, or I deserve to make more than I make, either I'm going to keep doing my job and working as an educator, or I'm not. Because complaining and crying, especially publicly, is not going to elevate my living. It's not going to elevate my thinking. It's not going to make my life better. And that's a powerful life lesson. I do get the emotion. I believe in a good cry. Now, I'm going to tell y'all something about me. I believe it's good to have a good cry. But after you have that cry, but I don't believe publicly, my daughter and I, you know, we debated about this. She was upset because I made the comment, I really don't believe that Taraji P. Henson should be crying publicly while she has an opportunity to have things that most people won't have. And to, you know, she probably lives in a home that is five times more expensive than the average person. She probably has a lot more material things. She probably gets a lot of perks because she is an entertainer. And in this country, people are obsessed. They are obsessed with people in the entertainment business, and they get distracted with all the glitz and the glitter and the glamour. And, you know, and she's fortunate. She's blessed. And I get, maybe she feels like she should get more because she did something where she talked about the math. Trust and believe, I understand. We all do have to pay those taxes. We all have expenses. I get it. But crying about it is just not going to help. And so she does need to make a decision. And anybody needs to make the decision. And am I going to stay in this profession? I say, is there a way you can use the profession you're working in order to build more? So in her case, she's an actress. She's well known. And this is the part about, she's already working hard. Well, what if she started a camp? You know, every summer she had this camp, people paid, or even if she had a nonprofit where people could come and do some acting with her for a couple of weeks, she could add to her income. She's controlling that. She's creating that platform. And that could lead to more money. And at the same time, not only more money, but she's also able to help more people. Now, when she talked about in one of her interviews, she was saying something about, you know, she's got to pay these people and all of that. I get that. But that's another life lesson. How can you downsize? You know, is there a way to streamline whatever your expenses are? I live below my means, and I do that on purpose because at some point, I'm almost 60 years old, I want to have the option of just completely stop working. If I don't want to get up that morning and I want to just sit at my computer and write some books, I want to have that option. So I have to remain and keep living below my means. I want a nice car. I want a nice home. I want nice things just like anybody else. I want to travel around the world. But the question is, if I can't afford it, what can I streamline in order to be able to create more in the end? And that's something that she needs to think about, or anybody who's in that situation where they're not seemingly making enough, they need to think about. That's something to really, really think about. So just, you know, that's the part that I think a lot of people need to remember. If I can't have my way, I can either cry and whine, or I can turn that whining into winning. And I know I'm a language teacher, so I'm using a lot of alliteration. This is what I do. But that's what you have to do. You have to sit down and say, what can I let go of? I remember being in my mid to late 20s, and I grew up not having a lot. I didn't come from a silver spoon, golden spoon, and wooden spoon is all I had. And I remember, like, I was in my mid to late 20s, and I was like, and I was living from paycheck to paycheck. I told you all I had to budget $25 every 2 weeks. But there was a point in my life I was like, you know what? I want to experience not living this way. I want to experience being able to get paid and have money. And I remember starting to do research on, you know, how do you become wealthy? And one of the things, every single thing I read, they said there's only two ways that you can improve your financial situation. One, you have to make more money. But two, you have to cut back. You have to either give up some of your expenses, or you just have to make more money. So here's the thing, you know, when you don't have enough, the question is, what can you give up? What can you cut out that is not necessary? Or is it that you just want a certain lifestyle because you just want it? And I get that too. But how do you handle not being able to have it? You know, I know if I can't have my way, it doesn't mean that I'm going to die. My arms are not going to fall off. I'm not going to go blind because I can't have my way. My hair's not going to come out. And I think, for me, that's what it sounds like. It sounds like a person is publicly crying because she can't have her way. And she's an adult female. And she's crying and saying, I work hard and I don't make enough money. It's people that work hard and they don't make enough money at their jobs. They're in service jobs. They're, you know, even in other professions. So if we sit down and we stop crying and we figure out how to create a way to make more, or to figure out a way to cut back, we will in the end have more money. And that's another life lesson from this. Is this a life of luxury and excess? And I just talked about excess. Excuse me. I just talked about this in my other video. People live these lives of excess. They have all this extra stuff they don't need, things that they want. And they just feel they have this sense of entitlement. I want it. I should get it. I have worked hard. And anybody who knows me knows, as an educator, I've worked super hard. I've, you know, tried to help people and have integrity and not just go to work and make a little money and cheat children out of an education. But I don't have the money to go get my nails done every week, my hair done every week, to buy expensive clothing. I don't even have that money. And I get it. I want the same things. I want nicer things. I want better things. But I have to accept the fact I can't have my way. And if I can't have my way, it doesn't mean that because I have less, that I am less. And that's another life lesson. Your worth is not determined, I can't say this enough, by how much stuff you have or how much money you have. And that's the thing. We have put so much emphasis on this stuff called money, and I get it. Trust and believe, my house is tore up from the floor up and I need some money. But guess what? I don't, and it takes work sometimes. I don't see my worth as a reflection of the things that I have or don't have. And that's what you got to do. You got to dig deep and invest all your time in not having this money, but having meaning. Determining who you are. What grieved my spirit was, I had somebody that said this to me, or I saw this somewhere, that she had also contemplated ending her life. I thought, wow. I mean, because you don't have enough money, or you don't have money you want to have, baby, it's hard, but you got to make peace about things that you don't have and focus on not being a human doing, but a human being. And when you invest in all, you put all your time and energy in being a better person and who you are, regardless of the money that you have, that's when you will really find peace and purpose. And I just, it just grieves me because my business, it was intentional. I had my business in a place that was a socioeconomically challenged place. I was trying to make a difference in the heart of the community. I saw for the first time in my life homeless people, and they were not necessarily the people that looked like they were strung out or they were struggling with drugs, but they just looked like people that didn't make enough. And I could cry right now thinking about some of those moments where I saw a fairly decent, healthy looking person standing there in the corner trying to stay warm with her suitcase, because she didn't have a place to stay. And here you have a person who is far better off, just yearly better off. I know she's not in that state, but she's going to be homeless. And, on a public platform crying about not making enough. When there are people that work, people at McDonald's and Burger King and these places, we used to say, oh, you go to college because you don't want to work there. Those people work extremely hard. Those people should be respected. And guess what? They're not getting paid enough money to pay their basic bills. Trust and believe. So that is what's so painful about this. But even then, and this is why I do Bad Thought Therapy, if we would take time and focus less on the material things and the money and focus on meaning, I believe we will get these ideas to create. And that is a new space that I'm in, and I want to share that with anybody. Create, whether it is creating your own camp, summer camp, creating a book, creating something that you can help people, but at the same time, it can be monetized if it's all about the money, and you can use that to help empower and improve your situation. But it's all about creating. When I thought about her, I thought, wow, her position, because she is a well-known actress and she's easily recognizable, who wouldn't want, she could easily get a summer camp and charge some good money, or have a nonprofit and still have someone pay for kids to come, and she could do lessons. But that's not what she wants to do, because again, that would mean you can't have your way completely. I thought about the fact, and this is going to see, well, I was like, when I was talking to my daughter, I was like, you know what? She would be a great drama teacher. She go up to Atlanta, the salary has gone up, and she would only be working 190 days or 200 something days. And then she would have use that time off to still do movies. But again, is the issue about her pay, or is the issue about a life of luxury? Is that the issue? I don't know. I don't know her. Again, let me just back up for a second. I want to be real careful, because I do not know her, and she does not know me, and this lady does not care if I'm breathing. And because she does not care that I'm breathing, it's not really about putting a whole lot of time and emphasis on her. It's about the principle. It's about the life lesson that we can learn from what she is doing. And that's what I want to really just kind of emphasize. And I want to say this, I want to challenge anybody who's listening to really be mindful about worshiping other people. Because I don't know what it is, and I'm going to break this down. I do know what it is. I want to break this down. Is as African-American people, we have spent so much of our time and energy idolizing other human beings simply because they entertain us. And the network is what we call them in our house. They will allow blacks to sing and dance and act and play with balls. And they will allow that in the black community. And that's who a lot of times are the wealthiest African-Americans in our community, are the entertainers. And because they have the money and because they have the fame, some kind of way, we have got entangled with them. And we spend so much time focusing on them and idolizing them. But here's the thing. They don't even know we're breathing. If I get stuck on the highway, Miss Henson is not going to come and pick me up. She doesn't care. She doesn't care. Whoever her family is and her people are, let's say that's 20 people. That's what she's concerned about. But the people that are watching her in these films, you know, she doesn't know they exist, and she's not concerned about their well-being. And I'm not saying she's a bad person because she doesn't care. What I'm saying is that it's a very unhealthy place to be in when you have these sort of one-sided relationships, because you're all into these people's lives, but they don't even know you exist. And if you get sick, they're not going to come to the hospital. If you get fired from your job, they're not going to pay the rent, because they do not care. And again, I'm not saying they have to care. I'm not saying they're bad people, but that's a life lesson from this. She's going around and she's crying and she's talking, you know, and I'm going to be honest. I did see her in the Benjamin Button movie. I saw her I think it was I Can Do Bad All By Myself, but I really haven't seen, and there's a movie that's on Netflix that she's in. I didn't see that movie. I haven't really seen a lot of the movies that she's in. Because they're not necessarily my genre of movie, a show. I know she was in Empire. I never watched a single episode of Empire, so I wouldn't even know what she's in, but somebody's watching it. But we got to be careful about this, because in a way it's self, you know, aggrandizing. Is that the term? Lord, I'm supposed to be a language teacher. Know that. That you're just saying, oh, I'm not getting paid enough. I should get paid more. And now somebody, I heard someone say this, she should have said, you know, I'm only getting paid a fraction of what other actors and actresses are getting. Maybe she should have said that, and it would have sounded maybe a little bit more, I guess, acceptable. I don't know. But here's the thing, you guys. When you can't have your way and you're not making all the money you think you deserve, or that that you want to have, then you have to go from crying to creating. You have to take ownership of your life and sit down after you cry, after you get it out, get you a good cup of coffee, a good cup of tea, a bottle of water, and start thinking, how can I create? Because basically, when you're saying they're not paying me, you're giving all your power over to someone else it's almost like you become a puppet and that you can only have this unless they give it to you. No, you can have something based on what you can create. And I'm getting there. That's what I'm trying to do myself. I have learned, and that's what some people are doing now, you know, through these social media platforms and all of it. But here's the thing. You've got to take ownership. No one determines how much you're going to have and don't have. And you got to believe that first, because if you're walking around crying, thinking, oh, I can't have this because they won't give it to me, that's a very unhealthy mental state to be in. They'll never be able to give me how much I'm worth as an educator. And anybody who's had me as a teacher, I'm not trying to brag or boast, I do like hot butter on my breakfast, so they will tell you, I'm a darn good teacher. I care, I have passion, but guess what? I am living in a small home that needs to be totally renovated because I don't have the money. So now I have to make a decision about my life and say, okay, what can I create to add income to allow me to have the life that I want to have? It's not up to the school district because they're only going to pay me so much for so many hours. And some people would argue I make good money for what I work. So, you know why, you know, I don't complain. I'm not ever going to complain. But my point is that let's say that there are people who do, well, they don't pay us enough, blah, blah, blah. Well, guess what? What are you going to do? Your life and your well-being is not determined by another person. In other words, if I was, you know, were Miss Henson's big sister, I'd tell her, look, okay, they didn't give you all the money you deserve. Let's start thinking about what you can create to get more money, to add more income, if that's what it's about. Are you, you know, and then again, going back to, I mean, what is the money for? You got a house, how many houses you need? You got a car, how many cars you need? If you have a child, you know, do you have enough money to send them? Like, what else do you need? I know everybody, I know for me, at a certain point, I want to be able to retire. I got to prepare for that because I took some time off. And when I went into business, I used a lot of my retirement money. I used a lot of my savings. And so now I'm trying to recoup. And it is hard. I'm going to tell you that. But guess what? You will not see me crying about it because I believe in the Most High God. And that's another life lesson. The source of all power. The source of infinite power. We got to tap into it. And then we have to use our time wisely because God has already shown me what I can have and what I can do. It's a matter of me making sure that I manage the time that he has given me to put these things forth and pray for them to be blessed and pray for them to help other people. But there are so many other things that she can do, even if she decided to get out of the entertainment business because of her experiences in the entertainment business. There is so much she can do and probably triple the amount of money that she's getting, but it's not going to happen if she only cries. If we only cry, because again, I don't know her. I'm not talking about her, but let me tell you something. I know what it's like to work your butt off and not have any money. I remember when I first started my career, I started in my home state, which is Florida. And most teachers that I knew when I started 30 years ago, they had a second job. And we're talking about people who were married. We're talking about people who had spouses and those spouses had jobs. But most teachers, if they wanted something nice and they did not have any money from an inheritance or somebody, I don't know, giving them money, they had to work a second job. And that's the reality. And I get it. It's frustrating when you feel like you're all that in a bag of chips, but no one is bowing down to whatever that is. Please, you guys, your worth is not determined by what somebody else pays you. Your worth is determined by the one who made you, the Most High God. Please, I beg of anyone who's listening, learn how to focus on him. Not people, the one who made people. Not what you don't have, what you do have. Not your problem, but the problem solver, the solutions. Because I just believe that life is going to get better for me, and I believe it can get better for anyone. And I do believe, though, we have to shift from the crying to the creating. I closed my business last year. It seems like it was so long ago, but it was really at the end of last year, 2022, that the business closed. And 2 days later, I was in a classroom. I did not have time to grieve. I was I had worked so hard to get my business because I was teaching and trying to build it on the side, and I thought we were going to be all right. And my daughter had made a lot of sacrifices, and I just, you know, really wanted this to work. I thought it was a great thing for the community. And I thank God that he allowed me to have success. What I didn't know when I got into business, that being successful doesn't always mean making a lot of money. And that's a life lesson, that person can be successful and significant and make a real positive impact and be broke. It's possible. But I believe that when we move from our focus from money and materialism, and we focus on meaning and what life was really important in life, we can feel so fulfilled. I feel so fulfilled now that I'm back in the classroom, even though my house is torn up, even though there are 1,000 things I feel like I need and that I want. I feel so fulfilled because my focus is not on the material things. It's focused on meaning. It's focused on empowering young people. And that's what I would encourage Ms. Henson to do, or anybody else in that situation. Focus on meaning and empowering and inspiring others. Cry if you got to. Trust and believe. I believe in a good crowd. Yes, I do. But after we cry, we must figure out what we can create. Right now, you know, and you know what's interesting? Right now I have so many opportunities. If I wanted to, you know, do tutoring, because I get people, when I first, you know, left teaching, I had so many opportunities to still teach because I could have done tutoring. I was doing books. I had so many things I was doing. And now I really can't do all the things that I would love to do because of time, because teaching does take a lot of your time. And that's what she was talking about. Henson was talking about. She was saying how, you know, all her time is tied up into one project, even though she's not getting paid a lot of money. But you know what I'm praying for? And this is what I recommend anybody listening to start praying for, is for God to give us, first of all, wisdom on how to manage that time where we can do more and still be rested, because you want to be healthy. You don't want to be stressed out and not getting sleep, but do more with our time that can produce more, that can lead to the things that we need. And I'm not talking about a life of luxury and, you know, lavish and you know, this kind of stuff. I'm talking about, okay, you got your needs met. You're able to pay your mortgage. You're able to pay your health insurance. And yes, I know some people just want to, you know, get everything. They want to live a life of luxury. But I said this on my last episode. What does it profit a man or woman to gain the whole world and to lose his or her soul? You just get so obsessed with all this money and materialism, and you lose. And this is why people are depressed, because they've lost focus on what really is going to matter in the end. All this stuff, first of all, we're not going to take it with us, and it can be lost in a matter of seconds. Fire, flood. I'm talking about what I know, not what I think. Fire, flood, theft, just overall, it gets old. Guess what? And that's why we're never meant to put our treasures into these material things and not focus on these things, but focus on the Most High God. And that's what's missing. You know, again, I get it. I want some stuff. I'm living, you know, my little house, my little humble abode. And it's painful if I think about it too long. If I look at the carpet, if I look at the roof, I get too down. But guess what? I'm still believing that God is going to show me how to create so that I can get those things fixed and I can live comfortable. And I don't need, and this is another thing you got to change. It's not on how much you got to have. It's how much that you don't have to have to live a happy life. You know, and greed is an issue. It is an issue because people already have so much, and it's like you can never quench that thirst of greed. If you just get focused on more and more and more, you'll never have enough. If you already got a decent car to get you from point A to B, or you have a house that you can lay your head in, you're so blessed. Because I'm going to tell you something. In my business, I met so many people that didn't even have that. And when you have those basic things, you got your insurance, you're able to get your hair done. You know, I marvel at this, and it's so hurt to see, because again, some of our people have lost their way and they're no longer glorifying God. They're glorifying themselves and people. And we're just human beings. We didn't make the sun. We didn't make the moon. We didn't make the stars. And the idea that, you know, we just complain because we don't have everything we want, it just seems so debased. And it we can do better than that. Elevated living is more than just getting a whole bunch of stuff and having more. And I get it. And, you know, maybe there's the thing, you know, it does take a lot to live. It's one of the things I talk about. You know, I get it. My daughter's an adult and I get it. Times have changed. And the way I lived back in the day, it's hard for her to live this way, because back in the day I could, you know, pay for a small apartment. It was decent, you know, that kind of thing. But today, just having just basic needs, it costs so much to live. Car insurance, you know, all these different places to stay, insurance, things that you need. I get it. But guess what? I am still believing that God is not only a protector, but he is a provider. We have to ask him for wisdom and guidance on how to create. We got to move from crying to creating. And that's what I want to leave in. So I'm going to close this episode out. Again, I want to be mindful that I'm not trying to criticize anybody. I'm not trying to judge anybody. I know what it's like. Again, I'm an educator, been an educator for over 30 years. And I'll never, ever forget those days when I first started teaching and I could barely pay my rent. And my car was raggedy. And I got to give this, I don't know where this man is, if he's still alive, God bless him. But I remember I had this little car and it was on its last leg and it needed a starter or a battery or something. And I went to the gas station. I don't even know where. Was it a car place or gas? I think it was a gas station and car place. And the guy saw that I needed a battery and I didn't have the money. This guy did not know me. But he said, you know, I'll put in a new battery. And when you get paid, you can pay me. Now, today, I would have been a little bit more reluctant to do that, because I would be concerned, okay, is he doing this because he wants something in return, that kind of thing. But at that time, I wasn't even thinking like that. I didn't even have that mindset. That guy put that battery in, and I drove that car. And then when I got paid, I went to pay him. He was a complete stranger. And God, that's what God did for me. We have so much power when we pray and we talk to God and we turn to God, not to people. Crying and talking about the problem is not changing anything. It just makes, sometimes some people say, it just makes you look really bad. And then because people are going to talk about it and put all that negative energy towards you, because they're like, you crying and you have, you know, far more, 1,000 times more than the average person has, and they're struggling and they're working real hard and they're not making any money. It's just really bad, and it brings a lot of negative energy towards you. And I just want to encourage somebody, don't do it. I'm going to be with you. We were doing this together. We can hold hands together. God has given me some ideas. He's told me some things I can do. I need to start working on these things and, you know, using my time wisely and just making sure that, and praying for his blessings and, you know, all of these things. And one of the prayers that I pray that's changed my life is, you know, God, tell me what to do. You see what's going on with my house. You see what's going on, you know, with my financial situation. Yes, I might have made a bad choice with business and I lost so much, but I just know, God, that you will replace what I lost. You will restore what has been gone. And you know my heart. And I just believe that. And I believe that not only for myself, but I believe that is true for anyone. So never, ever, ever forget that. Well, I'm going to end this episode. And again, I hope that you will subscribe to Bad Thought Therapy. If you have any questions, you can email me at badthoughttherapy@gmail.com. Don't forget to go to my social media pages. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I'm still new to this, fairly new. And of course, I don't have a lot of connections, but if you feel like, you know, connecting will help, please do. It always inspires me. Apparently that means something. So again, we're in this thing together. And if you have a question, just drop it in the comment box and I will address it. Well, peace and abundant blessings to you and your family. Take care.